Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Y'all, what y'all been gleaning? What we been looking at? We're about out of Ephesians. Yeah. Man, one day left in it. It goes by so fast, don't it?
Yeah.
I've been going through, about to overwhelm my mind, been on it so much, and going through all some of these older messages and trying to transcribe them and working through it. But there's a lot of good stuff in here. A lot of good stuff. 4:7. Let's see what 4:7. What'd you see?
Well, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ."
Yeah, to each one. And that is obvious, the body, right? Not to every person alive. So when it says every one, yes, yes. So that's important to each one. See, because it'd be easy for somebody to read that and, like they do many other times, would read it and say, well, he says he gives everybody grace. It says it, everyone. But we know who he's making mention of. He's speaking of those who belong to him.
That's us.
The body of Christ. And not only does that include everybody that lived then, that everybody that's part of the body now, and everybody that's part of the body down the road, they've already been assigned those gifts before they were ever even brought into the kingdom. Those gifts were already assigned for them for their part. You know, Christ just don't look and assign a gift down the road and like, oh, well, we got this here and we're going to need this here. All that has already been predetermined of what's going to be. But to each one of us, the brethren, the body, the saints, those in Christ, the disciples, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, as a result, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Yes, everybody has a gift. And we can break the gifts down in as these gifts here that are given. He lists several of them. You know, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor and teachers, for the equipping of the work of ministry. We can go to other places and look in Romans 12. Romans 12 is going to give us a list of gifts that the Spirit will manifest for the edification of the body. We can go to 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Corinthians 12 are going to highlight the gifting of the Spirit of God and how all these gifts have an objective, and that is to what? Build up the body, to edify the body. They were measured out with the purpose of edification, to grow the body, to nurture the body, to cherish the body. But yes, every single one of them. Now, these gifts can only be nurtured and grown within the body. Nothing outside of the body grows these gifts. They're all self-sufficient within the body. The body is gifted for the body. Amen. That's the gifting. So nothing outside of this realm of the body of Christ do these gifts get nurtured. They're only for within the body. That's why he'll tell us in other places that those that are not part of the body have no inheritance. They have no part. And they have no part, therefore they can't contribute nothing to the body of Christ. The body feeds the body. And because it's measured out by God within the body. So they don't have the Spirit. They don't belong to Christ. They don't have the Father working for them. So there's no way a world around us can do any gifting for us to function within the body. That's all within the body of Christ. All within the body. So, but for that to happen, you got to gather. You got to gather with the body. These gifts are meant to be gathered around. Amen?
Amen?
You have to gather. Then you have to connect. When you gather, you got to be in fellowship with those who have been gifted, and then you serve that gift within the body to be fruitful in the body. So those are dynamics that can't be avoided. If the body's going to function as the body, you've got to gather, you have to connect and fellowship, and you have to serve. You have to serve. So that is, you gather to be fed, you connect for fellowship, and you serve to be fruitful. That's how that works. You can't substitute it with anything. That's why, while that brief little time we had where we wasn't gathering with the brethren, I'd shared with you that was going to cost us at some point down the road, because you always reap what we sow, and you have to gather to be fed under these gifts that He gives, so that you can connect with one another. It's not that we sit shoulder to shoulder. You know, we connect with one another, and through intimacy and fellowship with one another, so that we can serve one another and therefore be fruitful with the gifts that we've been given. And so that's something that just can't be substituted. And right now, I think across the board in a lot of places, that is being manifested, that period of time that many people, and many still are. It's surprising when you talk to people on how many people still are not gathering back together, how that has an effect. Now, we talked about it even when it comes to children, for an example. Little children not being able to interact with other little children, the effects that it has upon their journey, their life, and being able to relate to other kids and other things, all that's going to play in. But you can't function in these gifts without gathering, connecting, and serving. It's impossible. And you gather, connect, and serve so that you, as the body, what we can reach, teach, equip, and mobilize. That's the function that we do. It's as simple as that, though it's complex, because you're dealing with problems, you're dealing with people, and you're dealing with pride and everybody as individuals. But we've been measured out these gifts to lay our lives down so that we can gather, we can fellowship and put other people before us, and can be fruitful as we serve one another. So these are just, as Paul writes these things, and one of the things that you got to pick up on, where did he say that at in the Psalms? This comes out of the Psalms.
68.
Psalm 68. Somebody, just go look in Psalm 68. Now, I want you to remember what he said here. He said, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Remember, Jesus is a conqueror. He's a conqueror. He conquers us. He conquers us. Remember, we're made subject to Him. As Ephesians 5 said, for the church is what? Subject to Jesus. That's not a question. Is she subject? No, she is subject to Jesus. That's who she answers to, the head. He's the husband. He's the one we submit to. That's the visual picture. But what does Psalm 68 tell us? Where is this at?
15.
All right. Somebody read it in Psalm 68, 18 for us. Read that, Miss Pat.
Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men.
All right. Let's stop there. Thou hast what? Received gifts. Okay. Received gifts. Alright. What did Ephesians say? What does Ephesians say? One says received. Ephesians says what?
Eight 7.
Okay, notice that. The New Testament says he gave gifts. The Old Testament says he receives gifts.
Yeah.
Now, why do we think that is? Why is this? One says received, and one says gave. Think about it. Y'all help me with it. Let's think about this for a minute. What's that? No, it's always grace, because it's talking about grace, talking about Jesus. Remember, he descended. He did what? How does 68 read again?
I have received gifts from men.
Okay, that's Psalm 68. What does it say first, though, prior to that?
Has ascended on high.
Okay, what does ascend mean? He's gone up. He's gone up to the Father, right? As he's gone up, in the role, while he is ascended, while he's at the right hand of the Father, Ephesians says that he gave the gifts, but Psalm says he receives the gifts.
But did he receive the gifts to give the gifts?
Okay. That could be. That can be. What else? Could one, even though it was written first, like Psalms, in a prophetic picture of saying what Christ would when he ascends on high and he's at the right hand of the Father, and the body of Christ is going to function as it has been decreed to function, he gave the gifts to the body, and therefore when the body serves him in those gifts, what do those gifts come back to him as an offering? He receives the work that was gifted by him. One sees the product, one sees the root of why they can offer him gifts, because he gifted them to receive gifts from them. Okay, think about that for a moment. That's right. That's what that is. That's right. He gave gifts unto men. You know what this tells me? When you read in Psalm 68:18 tells us for him to be able to welcome the work that we do, it has to be a product of the gift that he gave. It has to be of the gifts that he gave. That means it has to be the working of God. If it's not been anointed and gifted by God, God doesn't welcome or receive those gifts. It has the anointing of God on it. That's the idea. Just because Psalms mentions it first, it's mentioning it in the sense that, well, how is he going to be able to receive gifts from men? Well, he can receive gifts from men because he gifted men with grace gifts to do the work that he assigned them, and when they do that work, he welcomes that work as pleasing, acceptable. What is Romans 12:1-2 teaches? Romans 12:1-2 says what? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto the Lord as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is saying that if grace ain't in it, God ain't in it. And what ain't of God ain't acceptable.
Amen.
What's not of God is not acceptable. That's why he can receive gifts, because he gave gifts to men for the work that he's called them to do. And it's in that work that our offerings those work that we do, that we've been gifted to do, is acceptable to Him, and He's able to receive them because they are the product of the Spirit of God. They're the product of the grace of God. They're the product of God. They have the effect of God upon it, and that's the only thing God accepts. God doesn't accept what we do in the flesh. He only accepts what He's given grace to do. That's what grace is all about. Grace is God cheerfully and delightfully gratifying Himself for Himself in the face of deserved wrath. And we don't have it within us to do this work. We had to be gifted first. Amen. He had to gift us with this, a calling upon our life. No other person after the Apostle Paul could take on the role of an apostle and be accepted before God. Even though there's people today think they're apostles, claim to be apostles, but Paul says he was the last of the apostles. Amen. And he was born out of, that's right, and the apostles had one purpose, was to lay the foundation and build upon it. The foundation being Christ, that's what he did when he preached the gospel. He laid the foundation, which is Christ, and then he equipped the brethren to what? Build on that foundation and build up. Once the foundation is laid, there's no more foundation to be laid. It's already laid. Amen. And Christ is that foundation, and He was the agent for whom God sent to a Gentile world to lay the foundation. And now every other gift has been given to what? Build that up from there. But we have people today, some people say we can't even function in the body today, if we don't see these fivefold giftings active in the body of Christ or the church today. And there's nothing in the Scriptures tell us that. Everything in the Scriptures tell us that He gave the apostle and the prophet to lay the foundation. Because they didn't have a copy of the New Testament revelation. That would come along later. And that's what, when they laid hands on Timothy, like we was in Timothy, he said that was by prophecy. Well, we have a revelation that was written that tells us everything that he told Timothy to do when he went there. So we don't, that is the prophetic word that we have. So the point I'm making is that he gifts us so that what we offer to him will be acceptable. That's where, go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 12. Go back a couple books. That's why we keep seeing, Paul said, boy, the grace of God was abundant toward me. The grace of God was upon me. I am what I am by the grace of God. It has to be a grace gift. A grace gift. Anything that's not gifted through grace is not acceptable. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. That's why we go back to the body is the only portion, the only people that feed the body. Why? Because the body's been gifted to do, to build up the body. Nobody else has those giftings except the body. So 1 Corinthians 12, look in verse number 4. Verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. There are diversity of gifts. The gifts are manifold. But it's the same Spirit. The same Spirit. The Spirit has to be involved in the what? In the gifting. No matter how manifold or many they are, if the Spirit ain't gave it, it ain't involved in it, it ain't a gifting from God. Amen. The same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. That is services. Verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. That's grace. That's God working in His people. The manifestation, the unveiling, the showing, the gifting of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of the body, for all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another one the word of knowledge from the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to prophecy, and another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He, God, what? Will. So who's got to manifest these gifts? God's got to do it. That's what the Spirit does. God, Christ gave these gifts so He could what? Receive what the body does with the gift that He gave, that He could receive. Paul says it for an example. Let's go look in Romans. Go back to Romans, another book over. Romans 16, Romans 15. Let's see, I think it's 15. Yeah, Romans 15. Remember, he's an apostle. Yeah. He's an apostle. That was a gifting, right? Christ gave gifts. Look in verse number 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of what?
Grace.
What was given to him?
Grace.
This is Romans 15, 15. Yeah, Romans 15, 15. We're going to wait for you. You've got to see it. Verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I, Paul, have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the what?
Grace.
Grace of God given to me that I, as an apostle, might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That's his calling. This is what he was graced for. Serving or ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be what? Acceptable. Sanctified by who? The Holy Spirit of God. If it ain't of grace, it ain't sanctified. And if it ain't sanctified, it's not acceptable. So when it is acceptable, it can be received by Jesus. It can be received by Him. Verse 17, therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, for I do not dare speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. Why? It wasn't grace on Him for that. He had grace on Him for a purpose, right? In word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonder by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, all the way I fully preached the gospel of Christ, so that I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, lest I should build on another man's what? Another man's foundation. And of course, Paul is applying that in regards to where Paul had a primary calling to reach the Gentile. Well, Paul always started everywhere he went. He started with the Jews first. And because he was going places where the gospel hadn't been preached.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm talking about here. What did it just say? We see what? Grace. We see Jesus. We see the Father. We see the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. So that when the Gentiles as a whole, because remember, he gives everybody in the body. So when he refers to these Gentiles that he's talking about Gentile believers who's come into the faith. So that their offering, what they do, their life, how they live can be what? Accepted before God. Why? Because they've also been graced. They also been gifted. They've received the gift in the body of Christ, and that gift ministers unto the Lord because it was a gift given with intention. It was a gift given with purpose, and that purpose and intention was to build up His body.
Amen.
And therefore, it's an acceptable offering being sanctified. So, Psalm 68 says He received gifts. Ephesians says He gave gifts. So now we know that He gave gifts to receive gifts. offerings from His people to build up His body. So that then puts us in a, how do we apply that? Well, God has gifted me to do a work for Him. And that gifting that He's given me is what He's authorized me to do. And that is what He accepts from me when I serve Him in those capacities, in what He's given. And I make my whole life available to Him. Amen?
Amen.
And do His work. So we're talking about something of a surrendered life, that you surrender. That's where you get in the chapter. You keep reading chapter 4. He says, remember, you got to gather to operate these gifts.
Yeah.
You got to connect with the people of God.
Amen.
Got to be in fellowship with them. And you want to be fruitful so that you can you serve these gifts so that you can be fruitful in the body and grow the body, that our love together can steady be growing and looking more and more like Jesus. Amen. So I can't function in my gift if I'm not connecting with the body, if I'm not gathering with the body, if I'm not functioning in that. And that's I don't know how more clear that can be for the people of God, but a lot of times they just don't grab it, do they?
Yeah.
They don't grab it and feel like, hey, they can go do their own thing whenever they want, however they want, and they quite fine. But according to the truth, according to the Word, for it to be accepted, they had to be gifted. And for it to be received, they had to be serving that gift as they minister to the body. Amen?
Amen.
And everybody we see who is fruitful are people who gave themselves all in to do this work of what He's called us to do. And we're going to meet people out in the highways and the byways that are part of the body of Christ. And our objective in that is what? To edify. To build up with the gift that He's given me. And I told you can find these giftings that He talks about in Ephesians, in Romans, and in Corinthians. And they're diverse. They're diverse. They're diverse. None of us are all gifted in the same things. We may have giftings that overlap with one another, but it's all intentional. It's all purposeful. But it's all of the same Spirit. It's all for the same cause, and that is to edify and build up the body. And what a precious work we get to do. Amen? And that's why you don't throw the towel in on this, because it ain't about you and it ain't about me. It's about the One who gave Himself for us that He could grace us with a gift. Amen? So, and He's a conqueror. We were captive to everything else in the world, but now He's captivated us, and now He's gifted us to go do His work. And that's the neat thing about it, is that when you think about all these Older Testament, this great cloud, as Hebrews would talk about, it's all these Older Testament examples we have, all these different ones that we have in the Older Testament, that was just it. They got captured with the glory of God. And though they were limited and didn't have within them to do these things, they didn't factor that in because they got so caught up in the glory of God. And then God strengthened them in faith, and they were able to do things that shouldn't have been possible for them to do. Why? They've been gifted. They've been graced, because Abraham was as graced as we are graced.
Amen.
You don't ever want to miss that. God always works through grace. It's always been through grace. Even though He didn't speak of it the way He speaks of it now, because He talks about how that was a mystery through all the time, up until the fullness of time that Jesus came, and then God began to unveil His eternal plan has always been what He was going to do through His Son. And everything He did with everybody prior to that was on the account of His Son. And everything He does with everybody after that is on the basis of His Son. That they look back and know why they're doing what they're doing. We just have a greater clarity on that. Matter of fact, Hebrews even talks about it. Go look in Hebrews real quick. Watch how he says this. If I'm thinking right. Let's see. Hebrews 11 and 12. At the close of 11 is where we're talking about. Let's see. I love these things. I love these things, these truths. They help me. They help me. At the close of 11, watch this. He just gets caught up in chapter 11 explaining all these different historical, real, living men who were just like us, men and women, who were just like the rest of us, and they all were persuaded, and by faith they did what they did. That means they had a testimony, and that testimony is they walked with God. That was the testimony. They walked with God. Well, how did they walk with God? They walked with God by faith. That God spoke to them. They trusted Him. They was in tune with Him, in step with Him. And then as you get from 30 on down to the rest of the chapter, He starts just like, He gets away from just naming all these because He's going to run out of room because He can spend for days listing these names. Then He starts talking about what they all went through and some of the difficulties that they had to face. And then you get to verse number 37. Let's just say this, 37. They were stoned. They were sown in sunder or two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. They were afflicted and they were tormented. Man. It sounds like it, don't it? Verse 38, look what verse 38 says. Of whom the world was not what? The world was not worthy. Yet, they lived faithfully in the world to proclaim a message to the world of this great God that they served. But the world did all these things to them. That's why he contrasts with the idea the world was not worthy of them. They laid their life down to win the world, but the world only punished them for it. So he goes on to say, they wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they endured in their walk until the end. Because all these things are talking about, they didn't back up. They didn't turn back in spite of what they had to face and did not receive the promise. That is, they continued to live in faith, not actually laying hold of what the promise was. They only had the promise by faith. They believed it, though. They were persuaded of it. Now watch, verse 40. This is the point I'm making. God having provided something better for who? That they should not be made perfect, what?
Without us.
See, it's always been of grace. It's always been through faith. But they didn't get to see what we get to see. They didn't get to actually hear what we have gotten to hear. God had a plan that He would not perfect them apart from us. And that's where, in the fullness of time, what they were striving for in the fullness of time, He entered in on the scene.
Amen.
His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. And that's where chapter 12 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that would be all these that he mentioned and many, many more. It's not like they up in the cloud. The other day we was over at the house and Miss Lona brought about, what'd she tell us? When she said, I'm going to be looking over them clouds one day. I'm going to be part of that great cloud of witness watching y'all, Nick. I said, no, you won't. I said, that's not what that's talking about. What that's talking about is all those that have gone on before us that had testimonies that they trusted God, walked with God, endured with God through it all. Yes, you'll be part of that crowd, praise God. But no, you won't be piercing over a cloud. The cloud is the idea is that when you look at clouds as they build up, they're so vast. Then they're so out of reach. They're so many, so ginormous. We have that ginormous record of faithful men and women who've walked with God, who've gone through things we've gone through, and some things much more than we have gone through, and they endured to the end. They were faithful. Why? Because they had a good testimony. What was their testimony? They trusted God, and they endured with Him. They believed Him, even though they didn't get to lay hold of what they were trusting Him for until they slipped out of this world. Amen? But God had a plan, and that's why He tells us to look to Jesus and run the race. Throw off that thing that so easily ensnares you. Get your eyes back on Jesus and run that race. Why? Because Jesus is the one who gifts us. Amen. Jesus is our example. Jesus is our substitute. Jesus is God's sacrifice on our behalf. But when we look at His life, because He's the example, not David, not Abraham, not Moses, not Enoch, all those, they all had a great testimony. But perfection comes in Jesus.
Amen.
And that's who we look to on how did He live His life? How did He endure the mockery and the shame and the ridicule and the what did He do when He walked on this earth? That's who we look to. That's who we're looking to. And that's what's going to help heal us of us being unfaithful when we're looking and learning from Him. Not only is He our substitute in all matters, but He's also the example we look to in how to live life. Amen?
Amen.
And not that He's just a good example to know how to live life. No, He is my substitute in life. If it wasn't for Him, I couldn't have life. But as my substitute and as God's offering His sacrifice, He is the example for the brethren, the head of the body, because we are His body. He's the example we look to on how to function in everyday life. How did He overcome when they didn't believe Him? Did He tuck tail and whine and cry when nobody would come to Him? No, what did He do? He says, you can't trust Me unless My Father's revealed something to you. You can't follow Me unless you deny yourself, take up your cross, and come follow Me. That didn't rattle His cage or cause Him to get off the course. No, He kept what? His eyes on His Father. He had an assignment. He had a mission to do. And He loved people all the way through it to fulfill that. And He loved His Father. And that's what He wanted the world to know, that I love My Father and He's given Me something to do. So I'll lay my life down for Him, and we become benefactors of His grace gift. Amen?
Amen.
So When we think about those passages, man, they just encourage me so much to see that, hey, He's gifted me so that I can return back to Him what He gave me.
Amen.
What He gave me, what He's putting in me, what He's as a teacher, as a preacher, as a shepherd, as a husband, as a dad, as a grandfather. Those things I've have an assignment. When you look at Ephesians, you know, chapter, once you get past 17 to 24, when he says, look, put off the old, lay aside that and put on the new man, who we are. That is so that the spirit of our mind can be renewed. That's that renewing of the mind so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable will. Then we put on what? Those tender mercies and that forgiveness and imitating God who forgave us of our transgressions. And we realize, hey, this world we live in, it can't add anything to me in the body of Christ. Not one iota. It has no part in it whatsoever. So having no part whatsoever, it can't aid me in the body of Christ. That only comes within the gifting of the body itself. So if there's anybody I want to surround myself with as a new creature in Christ Jesus, it's the people of God. Because I can't grow to be what He's called me to be. I can't serve and be fruitful what He's called me to be fruitful with if I'm not connecting to the body so that I can be more effective in reaching those that don't know they're part of the body yet. But He's got a plan to bring them in. Because Ephesians told us, remember, He knows the fullness of them already. He knows the completion of them. He knows everybody that's going to be in the kingdom of the body of Christ. He knows that already. And I want to be sent out. You know, we're sheep looking for sheep. And we're sheep nurturing sheep. But you get into chapter 5, that's when he starts breaking it down. How then do we put on this? And how important marriage is. Because marriage is a gospel issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that what chapter 5 said today when you read it? Isn't it a gospel issue?
Amen.
It's a gospel issue. You listen to our world, though, which you don't need to. They're going to try to tell you it's a non-issue. And they're going to talk to you about all these other alternative ways of thinking and living. And that doesn't add one bit to you as the believer who is to exemplify the gospel within your home. Children, on the job, servants, whatever it may be. And then he gets into chapter 6. That's where he's going to say, hey, be wise and put on the full armor of God. Because everything I just told you about children and about bond slaves and about marriage and about walking in the light, the world you live in, the enemy that you're facing is going to try to lie to you about all those things.
Yeah.
So you better put on the full armor of God so that you could be prepared for his lies and deception. Because everything he told us between chapter 4, verse 25, to in the chapter 6 is all dealing with cultural everyday living that our world's going to tell you their way, but God has another way to live within his body, and you have to be able to combat that by putting on Christ and letting your mind be renewed and transformed every day. So Paul, obviously, remember, he's gifted. And everything he gives as he writes is gifted by the Spirit so that it could build up the body. The Spirit is strategic of giving us solutions on how to function in everyday living so that we can be prepared for the lies that everybody's going to throw out on us. And you can just walk in those few things that he mentioned in chapter 5. You'll be like those in chapter 11 where the world's going to come at you and tell you, oh, you just an old fogey. You like doing it. You archaic and you have your old ways and all that. But you say, look, I'm subject to a new king. And I think my king knows what's best for me and his people. And that's what I'm sticking with. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to walk in, whether anybody walks with me or not. Whether they walk with me or not, that's just what I'm walking in.
Amen.
It may cost me everything, but it's worth it when you're walking with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And we live in days where supposedly people who should know and teach the truth are debating things that are undebatable. That's pretty clear of what the Scriptures already said. And there ain't no need to debate some of that stuff that he's already spoke so clearly about. And I don't want to tell you, the family unit and the marriage side of it is one of those that's pretty clear of what it is. And you don't have to wonder, well, did God miss it? Or was that just a cultural thing back then? Or is this something that is a way of God from the start? And or what people want you to do, this is what they'll want you to do. And this is where you want to be careful. This is part of putting on that armor, is this. They will say, well, Paul just really didn't understand these things because of the times that he lived in. Things are different. This is things change over time. And Paul was limited on his ability. That's why he can't relate to the homosexual, and why he can't relate to the transgender, and why he can't relate to partnerships in society, and why he couldn't relate to and women and those things, because it was just the times, and he didn't know have solutions for that, and those things wasn't acceptable in his culture, so he just wrote about these things. Well, you say, well, you may think Paul wrote that on his own, but that's another story. The God who's the Ancient of Age, who said he would be with us and the truth is in Christ Jesus, and that he's with us to the end of the age, and the church is the one who gives him glory, and this was written for the church. Yes, it wasn't written for you that don't want to be part of the church, but if you want to be part of the church, the body of Christ, this is written for us, and we believe it. And this is where we're going to stand. And I believe Paul was inspired by God, so therefore Paul wasn't limited with what he knew or what he thought. Paul was led by God to write something that was eternal, that we could put our confidence in today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we just have to get away from people who think the Bible was written by men and not inspired by God. Though it was written by men, but those men were breathed on by God to write His Word. And we can take Him by faith on that. Amen? But we do what we need to do, you know, in building the body, making that difference in everyday life. And can't let them stop us. I mean, there's been situations and times in a lot of places around the world that no doubt have been a lot more dangerous than where we are today, that people continued to have to keep doing what they were called to do, and putting their confidence and their trust in the Lord, being smart, not putting yourself in a bad spot. You want to be smart about that, but let the Lord lead you. Yeah, let the Lord lead you in it. Amen. Where's the safest place in all the world? Under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And that means you're where He's got you. You haven't went off on something you wanted to do. You're walking with Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, Father, we bless You and we thank You. We thank You for keeping our people, keeping us protected and using us. I do pray that You would help us go forth, as we have been talking about the last several days, of just our society as a whole. There's so many who claim to know You but don't know You, and don't know what disciples are, and don't know what it means to be a saint and in Christ, a believer, and those that have been gifted and graced, and just don't know the why we even gather together to be able to pray and fellowship with one another and serve one another, the purposes and all that. And I pray that You continue to help us see the greatness of it. The greatness of it. For Your work is great, for it is for You, and we're going to praise You in it. So thank You. We pray for those around us in our society that have desperate needs in their life right now and what's going on with them, and that we would just be tender-hearted, that we would be Christ-like, and that we would just keep our eyes fixed upon You as we walk through this world and help others look unto You. So we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.
I see you Sunday.
Lord willing, Carolyn, if not beforehand.